Breton mit God Well Soon auf Lux FM am Dienstagnachmittag. Die Band, die sich ja in den Breton Labs in einem Labor also erfand, spielt morgen Abend in der Kantine des Berghain. Nicht heute, nein, morgen Abend spielen sie erst in der Kantine des Berghain und jetzt sind die Londoner bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über das mittlerweile aufgelöste, ja sogar abgerissene Breton Lab in London, finden heraus, ob man mit dem Produktionsstandort Berlin zufrieden war bzw. ist, denn hier wurde ja die aktuelle Platte War Room Stories aufgenommen. Wir sprechen über Filmvertonungen, Fotoinstallationen, Remixe und vieles mehr. Zunächst sage ich aber Hello Dan and Roman.
Hey man, thanks for having us.
Hello,
easy, it's nice to have you back. How are you doing? Where are you coming from today actually?
We were in Holland this morning.
Oh. Yeah.
The rest of the band are driving from Holland.
Oh no, those poor bastards.
I know, it's pretty bad.
It's a long drive.
Actually. It is a long drive. It's just we're used to doing long drives though, so we're okay.
Yeah. So you've played a show in Amsterdam or?
We did three shows actually in Holland.
We did Eindhoven, Haarlem.
Haarlem and this other place.
And this other place that you forgot to, which is like normal behavior on a Holland tour.
Utrecht,
as well.
It's
like
Utrecht.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. And that's been okay. The people
they've been
have
amazing.
Nice.
It was the first three dates of the tour.
Cool.
And it was really sort of, we were really pleasantly surprised just that, you know, there's all these cities that we visited the first time around. And now it's the end of the second record and the re-release, this deluxe thing to sort of say, mark the end of it. And it's incredible to go back there and all the people that we met at festival season and people that caught us at different festivals around Holland. Just turning up, it was incredible.
It must have been a great year for you guys because the record came out in February and you had many chances to play shows with that record.
No, it's been incredible. I think also compared to the first record we played sort of to some okay festivals, played to like about 1,000 people. We played some shows, but this time around, like, we did a really extensive US tour. We played in front of about like 50,000 people in one festival, and we just really had loads of fun and just got on with it. And,
oh, cool. Yeah, so you got discovered by the Americans.
I don't know. I still feel like it's underground, I think. I think as soon as you get discovered, it's when it starts being a bit of like the pressure on you to redo what you did on the other records.
Yeah.
We still feel like...
And that's something that Breton is not going... I mean, that's the cool thing that I like about Breton is that you kind of like reinvent yourself with every record.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean... If you're talking to a label owner or something, they're going to tell you, no, you have to repeat like the same style all over.
Yeah.
So people get in their head, you get into people's heads, and then they'll remember you and stuff.
Yeah, no, completely.
But I mean, it's like if you imagine a job as a musician like that, it's hell.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
Right?
And also that when you kind of almost have to assume that those big major label companies, there's a lot of investment that goes into them.
Yeah.
So they have to have, it's like a business proposal really. So it has to work and they have to prove to people that it's going to work. Whereas we've always been an independent band. So it's always been, you know, at the beginning it was all, we just played shows to sustain the band and to work on other projects. So the initial part of it was obviously difficult and hard and slow. But what it's meant is that now we're completely free to do whatever we want. And it would be weird if we stayed the same for another album.
And that's an interesting thing because so many bands nowadays, they complain about the new market and stuff. They're, oh no, I don't want to be part of the internet sensation. My songs, they shouldn't be played on Spotify. I want to still sell records.
Sure.
And they're hanging on to an old...
Deluded.
It's an old market idea that doesn't exist like that anymore.
Yeah, it's a redundant model. You have to kind of embrace it.
Yeah.
It's kind of also missing the point that like it's the most exciting time to be making music for the past sort of 50 years because everything's changed. And that's, you know, when you look back and historically all the exciting changes in music, whether it's the, you know, the invention of the record or the invention of the electric guitar, invention of a synthesizer, that's always the most exciting time to be making music when people don't really know what's going to happen next.
That's true. Yeah. And you're right in that time actually
your
band.
Right,
and
in the middle of it.
Yeah. And you've invented the band in Breton Labs as a thing that's happening in the time that we're all living in. It was not like an old school band that formed there that said, oh, let's write an album, record that, and then we're going to sell it. You were doing all kinds of stuff and combining all kinds of stuff. And that's another interesting thing that in these days that we're living in, it's possible for a band actually to do their own videos, to record their own music, to actually buy HD cameras.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, total self-sufficiency. Yeah.
I think that's why, you know, you're missing a point if you're saying, oh, you know, music downloads killing music, or you're saying that, you know, that this old model where you used to be able to be like Bob Dylan and just be able to play a song on a guitar and then make millions and millions and millions. Yeah. It's like, I think that's, it's amazing that happened, but then it's definitely not worth wasting time missing it, because all these new things that have supposedly prevented us from having this old version of music has sort of presented us with loads of new tools and exciting things we can do.
Yeah, and I think the misconception in the whole thing is as well that people tend to think that if you was a musician back then, 10 to 15, 20 years ago, that all of them were millionaires.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were so many people with a record contract that didn't make any money, not
course,
a penny.
So that's
a misconception as well.
And there were people that signed their record deals when we signed our first record deal, and they, you know, they were offered lots of things and promised lots of stuff, and then a lot of the freedom was taken away, and then we're here like 2-3 years after that, and a lot of those people, sadly, even though they were great, aren't around and can't make music anymore because they had to try and make it work in this strange format.
Yeah, and but I think what the cool thing about your band is that you don't have to get back to London and work in day jobs that suck, because you've invented your own universe, which means that you can do a video for another artist and get some money out of there and put that money into the band as well. So the jobs that you do to get some money, obviously, are our creative jobs as well.
And they don't compromise our record.
That's an advantage. Because so many bands who are great as well, and that's something that you can think about, I think, they're playing in front of thousands of people, but when they come home, they got to work in a bar or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
That can be depressing.
But I mean, I think when you think about the fact that people are meant to be artists, then if you were just a painter and you said, oh, I'm painting these pictures and everyone knows about me as a painter, but I still have to, I'm very poor and I still have to work in a bar, then people wouldn't say that you're not good at painting. It's just you're meant to suffer a little bit as an artist, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a very early flight today. Dan and I have been suffering from 7 a.m. This is probably the best bit of our day so far.
But that is a cool thing as well, because I've read that, and one of you said that in an interview as well, an artist nowadays he has to put more effort maybe into it, and he has to live the idea of being an artist much more.
Exactly, And I think that means, you know, if you're saying that old albums are dead and downloads are killing music and stuff, or if you think about the fact that music that a musician is putting out now is kind of like, you have to really suffer for it and you have to really believe in it. So I think the end product is still the same. Like, music still matters to people and people still have an emotional reaction to it. Mm. So nothing negative has happened to music. It's just the boundaries have changed a bit.
Yeah. Before we talk a bit more about problems like these, let's listen to some music.
Yeah, sure.
And let's listen to Envy, another great tune from War Room Stories. Hier sind Bretton nochmal auf Lux FM morgen Abend in der Kantine des Berghain. Bretton mit Envy auf Lux FM. Morgen Abend spielt die Band in der Kantine am Berghain. Und jetzt sind Dan und Roman immer noch bei mir im Studio. As a band with so many talents, we've been talking about it. You do videos, you do photo installations, you do soundtracks. I mean, there's so many things that you do that it might be easier to name the things that you don't do in art. But as a band with so many talents, do you use something like a timetable or something for stuff like that? That says, oh, we have to work on a video for 3 days and then we're going back to the studio for another four? Or
we do. We just have a do list of hundreds of things we need to do and just gradually work our way through them. For getting ready for this tour, we wanted to make it a real improvement and like something, a big jump forward from where we were doing before, because people came to the shows on the first tour and we thought, well, we don't really want to just come back with the exact same show. So we shot new videos for each of the tracks, and we made a new film.
Okay, so you didn't not only shoot videos for the new tracks, you reinvented the stuff that you've done for the old tracks.
Wow,
so that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, typically over ambitious and last minute, everything was still, we were still correcting some things a few days before we left.
Mm-hmm. As I said, you've done soundtrack installations, photo exhibitions. You've even soundtracked films live in Melbourne like a year ago. That must have been crazy as well.
Yeah, that was incredible. We played with a string quartet and in a cinema, and we shot, we showed 10 films. Uh-huh. And soundtrack them all live. So it was basically silent cinema, but all the music was live, created in a room.
Wow.
With a 24-hour jet lag.
And not too much rehearsing before.
Well, the brilliant thing is about, we're just obviously, we're self-taught indie musicians or producers. So everything we know, we just taught ourselves, or we did YouTube tutorials, you know.
Nice.
And it's something now that we get the opportunity to work with, like, we get the opportunity to work with classical musicians. Trust me, like, you cannot learn violin on YouTube. No. These people spent 9 years.
There's not even a tutorial that goes how to treat classical musicians.
No, exactly. There isn't. And they, to be honest, the classical musicians drank heavier than any band I ever met.
Yeah,
In Germany, it's the Schlager people. You know what Schlager is? It's like the stupidest German music with German lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, that was invented right after the war.
Music, yeah.
Yeah, the German folk music, but it's the stupidest folk music that exists on the planet. I swear you. And I know for a fact that the people who do that music, they're like the super druggy alcoholics with prostitutes backstage, you know?
Hopefully,
if you meet them as a rock band, you'd be like, what?
They're more reckless than anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, but maybe because they don't have any fun on stage, they have to have fun backstage. What I want to know, though, is how hard is it to keep the right balance between all those things that you do? Because, I mean, The worst example I can give is a band like OK Go. They do beautiful videos, but the videos are way too good. You know, the videos are so good that you completely forget about their music.
I saw someone, new one, someone said it's more enjoyable to watch with the sound off.
Yeah, I mean,
which is a bit counterproductive.
But how do you avoid stuff like that? Is there something like are there unwritten laws in the Breton universe?
I think there are kind of things we try and follow, which is, we never want it to be a band where you go and see us play and we've got videos and the videos are just like screensavers. Like, you see some bands that use visuals and it's just always the same thing. It's like some war footage, something black and white, some psychedelics. And I think that's a missed opportunity to do something more interesting. But also, we never have things that are just electronic kind of on Ableton. That's a trigger. Like, there has to be, like we were talking about earlier, a human element.
Yeah.
These like mistakes, because I think that's when you listen back to music that you really fell in love with, it's surprising, like you said, how many little mistakes, you know, make you. It's like when you've got like a really close friend, you don't just like them because they're just all cool. You just like them and you like their like weird little quirks.
Sure. Yeah, that's totally true. So what's happening next? You're going to finish this tour and then, I mean, you've recorded this album in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have plans for another recording session already, or are you just going to stay with friends and family for the rest of the year? Or,
I think we're going to just do Christmas with families and stuff, because we haven't done that very much of that. And then
it's me, hey.
Yeah, right.
Remember?
They're just gonna be like,
Mama,
why have you aged 7 years? Who's this old man?
In only four.
So we're gonna spend some time with family and stuff, but we've still got so many things we want to do. I think that we just get frustrated if we're not like working on it, because I think that I feel really like we're on a sort of a journey of discovering what this band can do, and kind of in a hopefully in not a too pretentious way, like what's possible at the moment as a band. Like, we were talking about everything collapsing and things changing, and in a way it's the most exciting time to be trying to see what Breton can do, or what you know, five musicians can make.
And I've been talking about that with managers here in Berlin, with music managers, for a few weeks as well, and we found out that if you have the ambition to do 10 records as a band, you can do 10 records in the time that we're living in. It's basically about you and your motivation.
Exactly. All those little limitations on how many records you should have, how long an album should be, those are all things that are from the size of a record or how long it took to put together. Yeah. So that has to change too.
Yeah. It's interesting times. Yeah. And we'll see more of Breton in the next few years. I'm pretty sure about that. Wer morgen Abend in die Kantine am Berghain gehen möchte, sich dieses tolle Konzert anzugucken, der kann mich jetzt anrufen, und zwar unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück, und wer durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste für Breton. morgen Abend in der Kantine am Berghain. Thanks again for visiting me, people.
Thank you so much.
And say hi to the others. And as soon as you've got some new material, new film material, new photo exhibitions, or whatever, yeah, you totally just tell us and we'll send people there.
Absolutely.
Okay? Bye-bye. Thank you.